Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much, Mr. Wonderful. At your service. And I'm excited about having our good buddy John Bertu on the show. Now in our, we're now in our eighth year together, John and I. John has been a member of our Brain Trust since 1999. He's the president of the National Taxpayers Union, and he's our good friend. John, welcome back to the show.
Were you, when you said Mr. Wonderful, you talking about yourself or me?
Or both? I was talking about you, John, of course.
No, you weren't.
Yeah, that's my...
Jim, integrity is the... the cornerstone of a good relationship. And I'm disappointed that you're violating that rule.
Well, you know how I feel about myself, John. But I feel the same way about you, John. You know you're one of our favorite people around here. And folks, in case you didn't know it, nobody works harder in our nation's capital and really around the world to debate and to fight for lowering our taxes than John Bertu and his organization, the National Taxpayers Union. And John, on behalf of my audience, we thank you.
Well, thank you for all your good work.
And you just got back from Vienna, didn't you?
I did. Well,
tell us what happened in Vienna.
Well, in Vienna, we had the Heritage Foundation. Our good friends over the Heritage Foundation.
Ours too.
Maybe a dozen years ago, began something in the United States called the Resource Bank Meeting, and they do this once a year, bring together all kinds of think tanks all over the United States. It's a really wonderful meeting. And we've attended for several years. I've spoken once or twice. And NTU is a advocacy group, but we also have our own little think tank as well. And a few years ago, they started doing that in Europe, and we have a European Resource Bank meeting. And so, but we also this year had a kind of a special event. There's an organization called the World Taxpayers Association, mm-hmm. and that's a. And I know you've met Jim, a lot of the folks
yes.
in that group. It's a consortium of taxpayer groups from all over the world. And we were scheduled this year to hold our meeting in Europe, so we put our meeting with the World Taxpayers folks together with the European Resource Bank meeting, the think tanks in Europe, and had a really great 3 or 4 days in the wonderful city of Vienna, you know, sharing both issues on policy and also how to build our groups and be stronger in the fight for freedom.
You know, John, when you had your event in St. Louis, you invited me to be there. Mm-hmm. When you had your last event in Washington, D.C., you invited me to be there. But now you have this one in Vienna. I didn't hear a peep out of you. What's the problem?
What's wrong with that picture, John? If I'm not the host, my friend, I can't invite you to someone else's
Well, now
party.
Now I know what it takes. You know, if I'm 1 degree of separation away from the event, I don't get invited. But maybe next time. Of course, next time it'll probably be in Sheboygan or something like that, right?
Well, it might be in Atlanta.
Atlanta? Okay.
You know, well, I'm sure no thrill for a Southern boy like yourself. But
what about, what was discussed? I'm very curious. Folks, you know, when we think about Europe, we don't think about a lot of conservative, economically conservative thinkers over there, John. Are there any of those guys over there?
There's a few of them. And I'll tell you, one of the more pressing things we actually discussed, and Jim, again, you know this, we have a lot of groups in the World Taxpayers Association, especially from the former Soviet republics.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of concern there, a lot of concern among the Russians about our friend Mr. Putin.
Yes, I'm concerned about Mr. Putin as well.
Yeah, and... we actually a number of us put together. I didn't write the statement, but I helped organize getting signers protesting against and just standing up and saying, "Hey, Mr. Putin, stop repressing." We don't use that term much in the U.S., NGO, non-governmental organization.
Right.
That basically just means policy group, think tank, groups like NGU and Heritage. And it was, folks from all over the world saying, "Hey, this is just wrong."
Repressing advocacy groups? Is that what he's doing?
He is, and it's
now. I didn't realize that. I knew that, that doesn't surprise me, but I knew that he wasn't. He's not running Russia in the spirit in which this last revolution happened. They've actually regressed over there in terms of their tracks towards democracy. But I didn't realize what he was doing to the advocacy group. And we'll talk about that and other topics right after these messages with our good friend John Bertu. Welcome back. It's 17 till. 1743 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend John Bertu, president of the National Taxpayers Union. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's the place where you can go to find news and information that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and my blog. It's all there, right there for free for you, and lots of other things as well. John, give us your website, too, please. That's a good one.
We are at ntu.org, and we also have a pretty fun blog, which is Government Bytes, B-Y-T-E-S. There's no double meaning there, Jim, and .com. So governmentbytes.com and ntu.org.
And, folks, I encourage you to check out their websites and support all the good work that John does. And, ladies and gentlemen, if you're like me, You like the tax cuts that we got in 2003. If you're like me, you are supply-side devotee. If you believe in dynamic scoring, which I do, and you believe that the reason the economy has recovered to the level that it has is because small business owners were given some tax money back to reinvest in their businesses and therefore grow their businesses, if you believe all that and if you like all that, then you can give at least some of the thanks to this organization that John runs, because they had a lot to do with all that. And John, what are some new things that we've got that are coming down the pike? Are we going to get the repeal of the death tax?
I don't think we are, and that's very disappointing. It's very disappointing to our members. And I don't need to. I know I'm preaching to the choir here on death tax. It's colossally unfair. It's poor economics, but the left loves it. It is out of, literally, as you know, Jim, it's out of the Marxist playbook.
Yep.
And unfortunately, the modern left has adopted it. It is a sacrosanct and wealth transfer and class envy, which is. Become a big part of modern liberalism in America, unfortunately, which I think is a terrible thing.
Well, John, one of the things, and I hate to say it this way, I hate to use the death tax issue this way, but it's the reality that we live with. Right now, the Republicans are using the death tax, it seems to me, as a way of preventing minimum wage increase. Am I seeing that the right way?
Well, there's a lot of, I think there's a lot going on.
This is the ugly part of politics, folks, that as much as I don't want, as much as I would like to see the death tax abolished, John, in my opinion, getting the death tax abolished, but getting an increase in minimum wage would be worse.
Yeah, well, you're a wiser man than me, Mr. Blassingame, because I can't. It's hard for me to say which is the which is the greater evil versus good on that.
Well, and, I think,
but they're both, you know, death tax is a very good thing, or getting rid of the death tax is a very good thing, and artificially setting wages in the economy is a bad thing.
What I don't get, John, is why some people feel that if they give in to some things, they've got to get something else. Why not, you know? I don't understand why we can't get these guys an education in economics.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, we try to. We actually hold forums from time to time up on Capitol Hill for staffers, and of course, any member of Congress who wants to show up is more than welcome. But just some basic economics 101. It would surprise and probably sadden a lot of your listeners to know the lack of economic knowledge up on Capitol Hill.
25 years ago, I was in Washington, D.C., and I was talking with it was the first time I really realized how bad it was. And I found out how absolutely abysmal the general understanding of how the marketplace works. Never mind economics. Just think about the marketplace, people buying and selling things, how cash flow works, what the challenges of small business. It would boggle your mind for most folks if they know how little is really understood in Washington on Capitol Hill about that.
Yeah, and of course the famous story, and I'll bet 20 of your guests have cited this, but I'll be 21 with former senator and former 1972 presidential candidate George McGovern, mm-hmm. Democrat senator from South Dakota. After he was privatized by the voters of South Dakota, went off to my home state, Connecticut, started a small business, I think a restaurant and inn, mm-hmm. and ultimately went bankrupt. And he then talked about his experience, talked about the burdens, the tax burdens, the regulatory burdens, and his famous quip was, I wish I'd known as a senator what I know now after living through the experience of being a small businessman, and
right.
These guys, and they don't. I think a lot of them have no real conception of the impact of their actions on, mm-hmm. on the American economy.
What are some other tax issues that you guys are working on?
There's a number of states that we fought hard against a big tax increase in New Jersey and lost. A lot of states raised the idea of taxes this year, and we beat them back in different places, which is a good thing. There's going to be a big tobacco tax increase. I think $2.20.
Do we like tobacco tax increases?
Well, you know, look, I think they're not the most harmful taxes economically, but it's just getting too much of a nanny state, and
right.
and that $2.20 in additional tax per pack is just unfair.
Stand by, John. We're going to take a quick break. Right back with our good friend John Bertu. He's with the National Taxpayers Union, the president of that organization. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Plasek. Stay with me. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend John Bertu, the president of National Taxpayers Union. That's ntu.org, right, John?
Yep.
And they can subscribe to your blog. They can also subscribe to your newsletter, right?
They can, for $15 a year, they can get on our newsletter list, and they will have delivered 6 times a year copies of both of our newsletters, Dollars and Cents and Cap Ideas. And
it's a good investment, ladies and gentlemen, improve your knowledge of what's going on up there and where you can apply invest a little bit of your own time and money into the effort that John is making. John, one of the things that I, as you know, I've been in Europe a couple of times in the last couple of 3 years, and one of the things I do is I take the time to meet small business owners. Whenever I go out into the marketplace, I go by and get to know small business owners and interview them, talk to them about what they're doing, what they're experiencing, and one of the questions that I always ask them is this: If you had more of your tax dollars back, let's say the government lowered your taxes 15%, just 15%, what would you do with that money? Every single one of them, without blinking, without hesitation, without a second of hesitation, in every single case, they said, I put the money back in my business. Instantaneously, that's what came out of their mouth. And so what I've decided, John, is it's in our DNA. It's in small business. It's in entrepreneurs' DNA to have, if we have any capital, to put that capital to work, because we know intuitively, we know primordially that money that we put into our business, if we've got a good business model, is going to return us dividends. And that's the concept that dynamic scoring has proven, and supply side economics has proven it beyond a shadow of a doubt, John, as far as I'm concerned, in the last 3 years. What do you think?
Yep. And no, absolutely. And I think, it just one more time tells the story of why taxes matter. And, folks, whenever there are proposals to raise tax increases, there's all this, we raise taxes, we can do X, Y, and Z, as if we didn't leave those dollars in the private sector, as Adam Smith taught us 225 years ago, all the social good, the more social good that comes from economic growth and development in the private sector. So
the thing that I like to think about, the way I like to say all that, John, in metaphor, is if you have an orchard, don't just instead of cultivating the trees and getting them to grow more fruit, you decide you're going to go cut down a tree to harvest the fruit. And that's what raising taxes does. Yep. Taxes doesn't take the fruit off the tree. Raising taxes cuts down trees.
Yep. No, absolutely.
And eventually, your orchard is gone.
Yeah. No, look, I mean, people say, how can I help places like New Orleans or disaster zones? Just think of the hypothetical example. Would you rather see that happen through a dollar running through a government bureaucracy, a dollar in private charity, or in the case of New Orleans, a dollar in, you or I go down and have a beer on Bourbon Street? And I think anybody would say, or most anybody would say, that a dollar going through government is going to be the least efficient way of adding to the common good.
John, we need Europe's economy to improve. We need it to come into the marketplace and be a stronger player in the marketplace. Is there any way in the world that they're starting to get anything that you and I were just talking about over there?
Well, it's great to go to, going back to where we were at the start of the segment, Jim, it's great to go over and meet lots of folks with taxpayer groups and think tanks who are advocating free markets, but there's a long way to go. And I think the brightest ray of hope, brightest rays are coming actually from the former Soviet republics and
Republic of Georgia, for example. Yep.
And
it's good to know, John, I got to wrap it up, but it's good to know that there are people who are thinking about these things over in those countries. And a lot of people don't realize that there are, and you've helped us to understand that. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all you do for small business.
Thank you, my friend.
John Bertu, ladies and gentlemen, president of the National Taxpayers Union. That's ntu.org. And I encourage you to check them out and support their work, the good work that they do. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be back on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.